Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Edito Bhagavan Eva.
Edito Bhagavan Eva.
Kapilyakya Parapuram Pumam.
Vacha
Viklavayetyaha.
Vacha Viklavayetyaha.
Mataram Matrivatsalaha.
Mataram Matrivatsalaha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya said.
Maitreya said.
Iditaha.
Iditaha.
Praised.
Praised.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Kapila Akhyaha.
Kapila Akhyaha.
Named Kapila.
Named Kapila.
Paraha.
Paraha.
Supreme.
Supreme.
Puman.
Puman.
Person.
Person.
Vacha.
Vacha.
With words.
With words.
Aviklavaya.
Aviklavaya.
Grave.
Grave.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Aha.
Aha.
Replied.
Replied.
Mataram.
Mataram.
To his mother.
To his mother.
Matravatsalaha.
Matravatsalaha.
Very affectionate to his mother.
Very affectionate to his mother.
Translation purport, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila, satisfied by the words of his mother, toward whom he was very affectionate, replied with gravity. Please repeat. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila.
Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila.
Satisfied by the words of his mother.
Satisfied by the words of his mother.
To whom he was very affectionate.
To whom he was very affectionate.
Replied with gravity.
Replied with gravity.
Purport. Since the Lord is all perfect, his exhibition of affection for his mother is also complete. After hearing the words of his mother, he most respectfully, with due gravity and good manners, replied. So I'll just read this next verse as well. Kapila Uvacha, Margina Nena Mataste, Susevyen Oditename, Astin Tena Param Kashtam, Achirad Avarotsyasi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear mother, the path of self-realization which I have already instructed to you is very easy. You can execute this system without difficulty, and by following it, you shall very soon be liberated, even within your present body. Purport. Devotional service is so perfect that simply by following the rules and regulations and executing them under the direction of the spiritual master, one is liberated, as it is said herein, from the clutches of Maya, even in this body. In other yogic processes, or in empiric philosophical speculation, one is never certain whether or not he is at the perfectional stage. But in the discharge of devotional service, if one has unflinching faith in the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master and follows the rules and regulations, he is sure to be liberated, even within this present body. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has also confirmed this, Iha Yasya Harer Dasye. Regardless of where he is situated, anyone whose only aim is to serve the Supreme Lord under the direction of the spiritual master is called Jivan Mukta, or one who is liberated even within his material body. Sometimes doubts arise in the minds of neophytes about whether or not the spiritual master is liberated. And sometimes neophytes are doubtful about the body affairs of the spiritual master. The point of liberation, however, is not to see the bodily symptoms of the spiritual master. One has to see the spiritual symptoms of the spiritual master. Jivan Mukta means that even though one is in the material body, there are still some material necessities since the body is material. Because one is fully situated in the service of the Lord, he is understood to be liberated. Liberation entails being situated in one's position. That is the definition in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Muktir Swarupena Vyavastiti. The Swarup, or actual identity of the living entity, is described by Lord Chaitanya. Jivira Swarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. The real identity of the living entity is that he is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Lord. If someone is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord, he is to be understood as liberated. One must understand whether or not he is liberated by his activities in devotional service, not by any other symptoms. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Manitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam Vandayaham Sri Guruho Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sihitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhavitam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishakanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashchatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maitreya Vacha, Idito Bhagavan Evam, Kapilakya Parapuramam, Vacha Viklavayetyaha, Mataram Matravatsalaha, Kapilaru Vacha, Margin Dranena mataste, susevye no detaina me, astitena param kashtam, achirad avarotsyasi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila, satisfied by the words of his mother, toward whom he was very affectionate, replied with gravity. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear mother, the path of self-realization which I have already instructed to you, is very easy. You can execute this system without difficulty, and by following it, you shall very soon be liberated, even within your present body. So, Mother Devahuti has given some very beautiful prayers to Lord Kapila. And now Lord Kapila is about to conclude, and then he will leave. So what I would like to, there's some very nice points in this purport, but seeing as Lord Kapila is telling us how the path of self-realization which he has instructed is very easy, I thought we'd just go back over that, because that was several chapters ago. In chapter 28, it is called Kapila's Instructions of Devotional Service, but it is actually mostly about meditation on the Supersoul. So if we started reading that, we'd spend all class meditating on the Super Soul. So we won't do that just now. But we'll just read a couple of verses in translation only in the beginning. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear mother, O daughter of the king, I shall now explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practice of this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the absolute truth." Now, similar to the way when Lord Krishna, in the sixth chapter, explains to Arjuna the path of yoga. Also, there's some instructions in that sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita which are relevant to us as devotees. So some of these verses in the beginning of this chapter are also relevant. Lord Kapila says in verse 2, "One should execute his prescribed duties to the best of his ability and avoid performing duties not allotted to him. One should be satisfied with as much gain as he achieves by the grace of the Lord, and one should worship the lotus feet of a spiritual master." One should cease performing conventional religious practices and should be attracted to those which lead to salvation. One should eat frugally and should always remain secluded so that he can achieve the highest perfection of life. One should practice non-violence and truthfulness, should avoid thieving and be satisfied with possessing as much as he needs for his maintenance. He should abstain from sex life, perform austerity, be clean, study the Vedas, and worship the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we'll go to chapter 29, in which Devahuti asks for clarification about what is really the best form of service. So at the end of this explanation, most of the chapter is meditation on the Super Soul. So Devahuti then inquired from Lord Kapila, "My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to Sankhya's system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems." So now she's asking Lord Kapila to move on to what is pure devotional service. "My dear Lord, please also describe in detail, for me and for people in general, the continual process of birth and death. For by hearing such calamities, we may be detached from the activities of the material world." Okay. So now Lord Kapila is explaining pure devotional service. He starts in text number 7. "Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor." So this is useful to us to remember. Just because we are executing devotional service doesn't mean that we're pure devotees. So Lord Kapila is describing in the different modes. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this word separatist very carefully, because the impersonalists and the Mayavadis misuse this word. So here, by separatist, Lord Kapila means that one whose interests are different from Krishna. So he is in the mode of ignorance. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fugitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. So we still haven't got to pure devotional service. Now someone wants to free himself from entanglement. And now in the following verse, which is verse 12, The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So this is the devotional service that Queen Kunti also prayed exactly the same way. She prayed as the Ganges flows without obstruction towards the sea, let my devotional service flow to you. A very nice analogy, a nice metaphor. That gives us a good description. Because the Ganges, if you've seen the Ganges, she is so strong that nothing will stand in her way. The Ganges is not in Vrindavan. Yeah. That's what's left of the Yamuna. So here is the process that we know so well. The process of hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the focus. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. So we begin with hearing. We hear and we chant and we remember. And this is the beginning of our pure devotional service. It will fix us in our constitutional position. Now this verse I'll recite because it's a famous verse. Salokya sashti samipya sarupyai katvam apyuta diyamanam nagrinanti vinamat sevanam janaha. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, salokya, sarshti, samipya, sarupya, or ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So of course, the one type of liberation, that of becoming one with the Lord, is never, ever, ever even contemplated by the devotees. The other types may be accepted by those devotees who are worshipping Lord Narayan. What was I reading? Oh, I was reading this morning, that right. Mother Irmala, she wrote, she was on dandavats.com, and she was giving an example that in order to get the highest love, the love of Godhead with unalloyed love, we actually have to give up enjoyment, material enjoyment. Beyond that, we have to give up the enjoyment of being liberated. And beyond that, we also have to give up the enjoyment of being with Narayan. That also has to be given up in order to get to pure, unalloyed devotional service. Because those devotees who reside in Vaikuntha, they have some inclination that they want to be with the Lord. They like the opulences in Vaikuntha. They like it when they have bodies the same as the Lord. And they like to have the wealth that the Lord has. So there is a little motivation in that. So that also has to be given up if we want pure, unalloyed devotional service. So here Lord Kapila is saying that the pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, even though they're offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of nature and be situated in the transcendental stage as the Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita, Mamcha Yovya Bicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevita Sagunan Samitichaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. So this process of devotional service will easily allow us to overcome the modes of material nature. And we come to the transcendental stage. And then at the transcendental stage, we actually come to pure devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmi Naso Chachi Nakanksati Samasa Reshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. So this transcendental platform is, there is happiness, there is no hankering, and there is no desires. But at that point, we come to pure devotional service. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional activities. The devotees should regularly see my statues in the temple, touch my lotus feet, and offer worshipful paraphernalia and prayer. He should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. So this is a very interesting section of Lord Kapila's teachings. The importance of deity worship and the purpose of deity worship is also given. So it doesn't mean that we all have to be on the altar. Prabhupada several times has explained that for those who are not on the altar as pujaris, that our deity worship includes the festival such as Janmashtami, which is coming up. This celebration of festival is the deity worship for the members in the congregation. Because as you can see all around the temple, everybody in the congregation is engaged fully in doing things that will help remember Krishna and that will help others to remember Krishna. So this becomes the deity worship for those in the congregation. So this last part, we're coming on into more verses about seeing living entity as spiritual. The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendships with persons who are his equals, but all his activities should be executed under the regulation with control of the senses. So these important dealings with others are also given in the instructions with Prithu Maharaj, and they're given in various other places. How with those who are more senior than us, with the pure devotees, we should serve them. And part of that service is to hear from them. With those who are less fortunate than ourselves, we should be compassionate and we should help them learn about Krishna. And for those who are equal to us, we should make friends with them. A devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time in chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should always be straightforward and simple. And although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. So this is described as the Madhyam platform in devotional service. The highest platform is the Uttama platform. But at the Uttama platform, the devotee actually doesn't distinguish between anyone else they meet. So at the Uttama platform, they think that everybody is serving Krishna, but I'm unfortunate, I'm not able to. So for the purpose of preaching, the preacher has to be on the Madhyam platform. He has to be able to distinguish who is serving Krishna, who are the devotees, who are innocent, who simply need to be instructed and given some information so that they can learn how to serve Krishna. And he has to learn who are the envious. You know, our ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person in the glories of the holy name. So that doesn't mean we don't go out and preach, but it means that if we find someone who's envious and if we keep speaking to them, they will only blaspheme the Lord or the devotees or be offensive towards us. Then for their interests as well as to save our wasted time, we won't continue to preach to them. For their interest, because we don't want them to actually cause offense. We'll leave them alone, or we'll give them some prasadam if we've got some prasadam, so that the prasadam can work unknowingly. Because we don't want them to cause offense. When one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes, and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing my transcendental quality. So this is a very nice description. Okay, I'll read this purport, it's very nice. In the beginning of this instruction, the Lord explained to his mother that Madguna Shruti Matrena, simply by hearing of the name, quality, form, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately attracted. A person becomes fully qualified with all transcendental qualities by following the rules and regulations as mentioned in different scriptures. We have developed certain unnecessary qualities by material association, and by following the above process, we become free from that contamination. To develop transcendental qualities, as explained in the previous verse, one must become free from these contaminated qualities. As the chariot of air carries the aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell, similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness, can catch the Supreme Soul, who is equally present everywhere. So this is very nice. Simply by engaging in devotional service, we will attract Krishna's attention. It's also very important for us, because especially in this age of Kali, we actually have no qualification, aside from sincerely trying to serve Krishna. We're not well qualified. We can't study the scriptures properly. We're not Srutida, we can't remember. When Suta Goswami heard from Sukadeva Goswami the whole Bhagavatam, he heard it once only and then repeated it. So we're not like that. We don't have those qualifications anymore. But simply by sincerely engaging in devotional service, following the rules and regulations, we can catch the attention of the Supreme Lord, who will then help us. Now, some very important instructions about the deity worship. I am present in every living entity as the Supersoul. If someone neglects or disregards that Supersoul everywhere and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord, as Paramatma, is situated in every living entity's heart, must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations to ashes. So in this we're talking about the fire sacrifice. The priest will offer the oblations, will offer the ghee into the fire. So he's saying that if we don't recognize the Paramatma in every living entity, which means treating all living entities with equality and compassion, then it's compared to offering those oblations once the fire's gone out. Just let the fire go out and then offer something. The Supreme Lord is present as yajna. He's present as the fire. If we let the fire go out, then there is no longer the presence of yajna to receive our offerings. One who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior towards other living entities. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. Performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until he realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of other living entities as well. So this is our purpose of deity worship. We worship the Supreme Lord until we can recognize the Supreme Lord's presence in all living entities. So the verse before that said that, the two verses before that said that if we don't see Krishna in all living entities, then he's not accepting our worship in the temple. So the pujari in the temple has to have this conception. Because what the pujari does when he offers these, he's offering the five material elements back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a similar way as when you want to worship the Ganga, you take a palmful of Ganga water and you offer it back to her. In the same way that when Lord Brahma, once he became aware of his position on the lotus of on the navel of the Lord, he wanted to offer something to the Lord as well. But all that was there was the body of the Lord. So he took that and he offered it back to the Lord. So this is our worship when we do an arti in the temple. We are offering these five gross elements back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the pujari is not just doing it on his own behalf. He's doing it on behalf of everyone here. So if he's not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Paramatma in the Supersoul, then he's not properly offering as he should be offering. Because his job is to offer on behalf of everybody, so that everybody who's present will benefit from being present before the Arati. And nevertheless, this worship of the Supreme Lord is our prescribed process for becoming purified, along, of course, with the chanting of the holy name. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a different outlook. So that's quite heavy. Lord Kapila is being quite heavy here. If we have the least bit of different outlook compared to other living entities, then he's not very encouraging towards us. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me, who abide in all creatures as their very self. Okay. Now there's a selection of who's superior to others. But we'll go forward a little bit and not view them all. We'll go to verse 32. Better than the Brahmana who knows the purpose of the Vedas is he who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows Brahminical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. Therefore, I do not find a greater person than he who has no interest outside of mine, and who therefore engages and dedicates his activities and all his life, everything, unto me without cessation. Okay, so we'll come back and have a look at this purport. Find the verse again. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport, devotional service is so perfect. Let's purport to today's verse, text 10. That by simply by following the rules and regulations and executing them under the guidance of the spiritual master, one is liberated, as it is said herein, from the clutches of Maya, even in this body. So this, under the instructions of the spiritual master, we know is there from other verses. It's not actually here in this verse. But the only way to follow this path of self-realization is through the instruction of the spiritual master. We were discussing in our class Saturday here and on last night as well, a little bit about the separatist mentality. If one has different interests from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one will simply be ruled by the false ego. So we discussed how, without the spiritual master, we may study even Srila Prabhupada's books, but we will not become a pure devotee. Because if we study without superior guidance, we will take what we like and we'll put aside what we don't like. Or we'll study and meditate and consider how to apply what it is we like. And the what we don't like, we may read it and we may say yes, but we will not put as much focus in it. So we need this superior guidance, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, in order to fully follow this process of devotional service and not be a separatist. We need that guidance how to get rid of this false ego that makes us have a separate desire to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Kapila was very hard on those who maintain a separate desire. So we have to put all effort into surrendering fully to the process, which includes to the spiritual master, to the shastra, and to the association of the devotees. If we don't maintain the association of devotees, similarly, we have the same problems, because it's in the association of devotees that we become purified by their association. If we avoid the association of devotees, then the same thing, we're being a separatist. We're keeping separate for our own personal reasons. We're not following the process that Prabhupada gave us. The process Prabhupada gave us, the process the acharyas have given us, is to focus on the association of devotees as being one of the most important things in our devotional service. Prabhupada also makes a point that sometimes the neophytes will doubt the position of the spiritual master. So this is, actually it's quite natural. Because for us as neophytes, we're not able to perceive the transcendental qualities of the spiritual master. We can't see him on a transcendental platform because we have no idea what a transcendental platform is. I gave a small example I heard in class one time, that if you have an ant which sees things only in two dimensions, and he walks onto a piece of paper that he's walked across maybe 100 times before, but you move that piece of paper, you totally confuse that ant. Then he comes to the edge of the paper, he doesn't know what to do next. So his vision is limited to two dimensions. But our vision, while we're conditioned in this material body, is limited to the material. So we can't see the spiritual. Of course, we're hearing here that we can be liberated in this body, but we have to be careful, because we're not on the same platform as our spiritual master. So we have to be careful to see the spiritual qualities. As Prabhupada is saying here, we must be careful not to look at the material qualities of the spiritual master, but to look for the spiritual qualities. There's also a verse in Nectar of Instruction which says the same thing. The same as the Ganges has bubbles and foam and mud in it, yet we must always consider the Ganges to be pure. There was something else. There was another verse I was thinking of. I've forgotten. Okay. And then in the last purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the swarup of the living entity is actually to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is our goal of this pure devotional service, to recognize our actual constitutional position. Jivera Swupahoi Krishnira Nichidas. The real identity of the living entity is that he is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Lord. If someone is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord, he is to be understood to be liberated. One must understand whether or not he is liberated by his activities in devotional service and not by other symptoms. So this is coming back again to not looking at the material symptoms of those people around us. In general, not being critical of those people around us, but trying to look inside ourselves and see whether we have these qualities of 100% engagement in devotional service. So we'll see, have any of you got any comments, questions or corrections from today's class? Hare Krishna Prabhu.
It's a very nice chapter.
Yes.
Now, if like a building, we don't get that right to start the chanting and the hearing, then will the rest of he will be changing. We must be changing what Prabhupada's told us to change.
Yes.
Not changing, not shortening. 32 syllables, 16 books. If we don't get that right, like the corner of a building, the rest of the building will be out loops by the time we get to the other one. So this is the first thing to know.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, it's like if we try to worship the deity without this chanting, then we're simply sentimental. If we don't follow all these rules and regulations, and if we don't spend our time by chanting our rounds, then we're just like children playing with dolls. We need to use this mantra to come to the transcendental platform. While we're in the material body, the sound is the closest thing to the transcendental. We have to, of course, be careful the mood in which we pronounce it. But it is only through the mantra that we actually have access to the transcendental platform while we're materially conditioned. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other comments, questions, corrections, additions? Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yes.
How do we convince ourselves to really surrender to that? Or sometimes the mind says, well, maybe that's not right, maybe that's not your nature. And so how do you...
Well, it really is... there's not an instant solution. Because it's a constant struggle, because Maya will always come back to us. We cultivate the knowledge that the Paramatma is our Chaitya Guru in the heart. But we have to learn to distinguish between the voice of the Paramatma and the voice of the mind, which Maya is going to try and use to drag us a little sideways. So the main thing is we have to cultivate this faith in the process, as Prabhupada has given it. And we have to try and follow it as sincerely as we can. Now, we may not all be able to follow everything that Prabhupada has given us. I mean, simply in a day's life in a temple, we can't do everything that's available for us to do. So we have to be always careful. Somebody's said that devotional service is a little bit like a razor's edge. We can easily slip. We have to be mindful. But this being mindful is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. It's about being, Krishna consciousness is about being conscious. So we can develop the qualities of constantly checking how we're doing, especially maintaining the association of the devotees, and especially maintaining the mood of the spiritual master. It's very clear from Prabhupada's books, from his classes, from his conversations, that he has a preaching mood in this ISKCON. He has taken up the mission of Lord Chaitanya to take the Maha Mantra to every town and village. So if we serve him in his mission, he will help us. And that's our best hope, because by our own efforts, we actually can't do it. We need the blessings of the advanced Vaishnavas and the blessings of Krishna when he sees us serving the advanced Vaishnavas. And in that way, they will help us, because by ourselves, part of the surrender is to recognize that we don't have the ability to do anything by ourselves. We had that, I read that quote of Prabhupada's. He defined humility is when you're absolutely convinced that there is nothing in this world, not your wealth, not your home, not your car, not your money, not your gun, not your education, nothing that can save you except the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, when you are convinced of that, that is humility. So, it's interesting. But it really means that we don't imagine that we've got any ability to do anything by ourselves without Krishna's grace. He's given us skills, he's given us abilities to use in his service. But without his grace, we have nothing of our own. So that's surrender. And that's humility, according to Prabhupada's definition. Anything else from anybody? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.